toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and the Israelites passed over on a dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Logan, would you pray for us this morning? So if you was here for Sunday school and you was here Wednesday night, we're leading up to them crossing the Jordan River. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and this is where they find themselves right now. And the title of my message is Preparing to Cross. God has a way of preparing us for things in our lives, for things to come, for situations that we're going to face, and we're supposed to follow those instructions. Not all the time is it very clear. I've prayed things in my life that I wish God would have just beat me over the head and said, okay, neon lights come on and said, this is the direction I want you to go in. I know when we was seeking God's will as to whether or not we should build chicken houses and that big undertaking that we went through, I wish there had been a light switch somewhere that would have come on and said, this is the direction I want you to go in. But sometimes you got to be still. And Joshua was good at being still. He was good at listening. He had watched Moses down through the years. Moses was his mentor. He had seen all that God had done through Moses. And Joshua picked up on some things. It would do us good as Christians to pick up on some things that we've learned down through the years, the men that stood here and the teachers and the women that stood and taught and different things. I can think back on the Sunday school lessons as a kid growing up here of the things that I was taught, and I haven't forgot those. But it would do us some good. But thinking about preparing to cross and where the Israelites were at, there was a particular time that they were supposed to cross. But there's a particular time for us. Verse 1 tells us that Joshua rose up early in the morning. If we're ever going to get anything done for the Lord, we got to get started. There's a lot of good deeds that went undone because people aren't willing to start. There's a lot of good ideas that people think up and say, well, this would be good. This would be good if we could do this around here, or this would be good if we could maybe start this ministry. But they never get started. I guess I'm a doer. I don't have all the ideas. I wait for somebody to come up with the ideas, and then I'm willing to do. But it takes doers, it takes thinkers, because when God gives you something, it's time to go. It's not time to sit around and wait. Joshua knew he had to get up and get the people motivated. That's a hard thing this day and time. We took Lucas up to Tweetsie yesterday for his birthday, and there was a man that was running back and forth. He was running two rides. He would run up the mountain, he'd start that one, come back down, start the next one. There's a lack of motivation in this generation that's coming up today. And that's what he said was the problem, that people didn't show up for work. It's no different than God's house today. People don't want to show up to work. They want to show up and receive all the rewards, but when it comes to work time, nobody don't want to show up. And I ain't throwing rocks, because these rocks is coming back at me too. But it's time for us as Christians to get busy. It's not up to the preacher always to get you excited and motivated for the Lord. Joshua knew that was his job. He had to get the people motivated if he was going to get them across the river. And you can imagine the millions of people that was there, that was standing there waiting to cross this river. This river was in flood stage. It wasn't a time of when they could step over the water. This time it was, I think I've gotten my notes, it was up to 100 feet wide at this time, maybe 10 foot deep. So this wasn't an easy task for Joshua. If you've ever been in charge of a group before, you know how hard it is a lot of times to motivate people. I'm not a very good motivational speaker, because I'll cut you down in a heartbeat. They used to hate my meetings at work because I would tell people just how sorry they was and say, all right, you go ahead and go out and get busy. But we should be an encouragement to each other. But it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be lazy and just sit around and wait on somebody else to do it. You know, there's some jobs and some positions around here that need to be filled. We need some Sunday school teachers. We need some people that's willing to take hold. You know, I've never seen a horse plowing that plowed without anybody behind it. They have been a few that got away, but there was somebody at one time that was behind that horse. Let me rephrase that. There probably have been a few runaways. But if we're going to do any good for the Lord, we got to get busy. We got to get started. And Joshua was trying to motivate them. Don't be a turnip truck Christian. I always need to be retrained every time something new comes along, every time God asks you to do something. That used to burn me up. It was every Monday morning, it seemed like I had to retrain the group of men and women that I had to, was in charge of at Canteen. We wasn't performing rocket science. It wasn't, you know, brain surgery, anything like that. And this thing is being a Christian is not brain surgery. It's not being, God gives you the instructions. We read them. We use them. We go to the next task. We shouldn't have to be retrained. God shouldn't have to deal with you on the same sins each and every day. I mean, yes, we struggle with this human flesh and that human desire of wanting to go to that carnal man the way that Paul said. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, but the things that I don't want to do, I do. We're no different than that today. But the fields are white and ready to harvest. We got to get busy for the Lord, or people are going to die and go to hell because of our sorriness. You know, it's easy to put it all on a preacher. It's easy to put it all on a pastor. It's easy to put it all on a Sunday school teacher and say, well, it's your job to feed me today. It's your job to draw these people. No, a lot of times it's up to us as Christians to live that life before this lost and dying world. To be that light that people see that when no matter when something bad comes, when something hard comes along, you're willing to get back up. We're all going to get knocked down, and I've said it many times, and I'll keep saying it till the day that I die. It's all depending on how you get up as to what kind of difference you're going to make for the Lord. If we lay there and wallow around in self-pity, we ain't going to get nothing accomplished for God. It's time to get up, dust ourselves off, and get back in the fight. We got to get back to going. Because if they had stayed on the other side of the Jordan, they would have never been able to accomplish what God was wanting to accomplish through them. But there was a particular time, but there was also a particular order. Verse 3 tells us, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. They was to wait on God to pass by. Sometimes it's very rare, but you get a Christian that is over-motivated, that somebody that's not willing to wait on God. But most of the time, he has to kick us around and beat us over the head with something before we'll get motivated. They were supposed to wait on God to pass by. They was to wait on the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant before them. And when they seen that come by, they said, okay, guys, it's time to worship. It's time to go after it. It's time to follow. Just because there is a time to start doesn't mean that we need to go ahead and get started without God. Wait on God to show up and show you which direction to go. That's a hard task in our life a lot of times. We put that as a, and y'all may be more super spiritual than I am, but it's hard for me a lot of times to discern which direction God wants me to go, because there's so many directions that you feel like, well, that could be God. That could be God showing me to go this way, or could be God showing me to go that way. But we need to get still and wait on that still small voice. And when he passes by, we need to notice it. Notice God was supposed to be at the front and not in the back of, or the last resort. A lot of times as Christians today, we put God at the back. We put him as our last resort. We have him as our spare tire, that when we need him really bad, we'll bring him out and put him on and say, okay, God, now I want you to be the leader of our group. I want you to lead me in my life. No, that's not when you pull God out. God should be the first. He should be the one ordering the first steps, not the one ordering the last steps, not the one ordering the steps of when you mess up, because we all will mess up. But if you put God first, chances of you messing up is going to be a little bit less than if you wait and put him at the back. But God was supposed to go before them. There was a particular order that they had to go in this situation. You know, Joshua was doing the motivating. He was getting the people ready to go. And then God said, there's going to be a specific time when you need to go, or a specific order when you need to go. That when you see the Levites come by bearing that ark, that's when it's time to get ready. It's time for us as Christians to get ready. It's time for us to get ready to serve Him. We can't. Talking about revival. Revival's coming up in a couple weeks now. We can't wait till Monday night to start praying about this thing. We can't wait till Monday night of that revival service and start saying, well, God bless Brother Neil. No, God, we need to be praying over Brother Neil now. We need to be praying for him that God will give him the messages. We need to be praying for those singers that's going to come. We need to be praying for those lost people that's going to come in and get saved that week. We need to be praying for Christians that's going to be revived that week. We need to be praying for our own selves. Because like I said earlier, I need revival just about as much as anybody does. There's a particular order, but there was a particular process. Verse 5 tells us, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. They were supposed to sanctify themselves. There could have been something the day before, that day alone, that had got them dirty as far as what God was looking at them in His eyes. And they were supposed to sanctify themselves. They were supposed to cleanse themselves and get themselves ready to be able to worship or to be able to fellowship with God. It's time for us as Christians to clean our lives up. It's time for us to clean up and get ready to serve Him. We're going to miss out on some things if we're not prepared to get cleaned up. We're going to miss out on some things if we're not going to clean up our lives, if we're not going to clean up our hearts, because God's got to have room to move in. It's something as big as God. When He moves into your heart, He's got to have room. You can't hold on to the world with one hand and try to serve God with the other hand. You're going to get torn in both directions. It's time for us to turn loose of the world and just to follow Him. We must confess our sins before we can fellowship with the Father. They were to sanctify themselves just to witness what God was about to do. There was no particular action that these people had to do. They just had to be clean because of what was going to happen in front of them. They just had to clean their lives up as to what was going to happen when God parted the Jordan and they was able to walk across on dry ground. If you think about that as a church member coming in or as a Christian coming into God's house, you may not be the one standing and teaching. You may not be the one standing and preaching. But we need to clean our lives up before we come into God's house. We need to be ready to worship. Because if it takes to the end of a sermon for you to get ready to worship, you missed the task. We've missed it. We've missed it because we need to fellowship with Him before we ever get to church. This shouldn't be the only place that we talk to Him. If this is the only place that you talk to the Lord, you're living a miserable life. You're living a defeated life. I know that because I've lived that before. The only time I would come in and I would just go through the motions here and maybe get a little something, and before I get off the premises, just lay it down and say, well, I'll pick you back up maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night, and we'll hook back up. No, God should go with you all the time. He should be at the front. They were to sanctify themselves. None of us are perfect, but we must stay clean if we plan to be used by God. God can't use a dirty vessel. He can take a dirty vessel and clean it up and make it be ready to be used again. But you got to be willing to be cleaned up. We can't keep committing that same sin over and over and over and expect for God to do anything different. These Israelite people, they had to sanctify themselves. They had to clean themselves up. They weren't supposed to clean their neighbors up. That's where a lot of times we stay as Christians. We want to clean everybody else's house up, but when it comes to our house, nah, you stay out of that. Don't go to meddling in my house, because I've got things in there that I hold partial to that I need to hang on to. But hey, now, if you want me to help and come over and kick the cobwebs out of yours, I'll be more than glad to come over there and tell you what sins you need to confess. No, it's a personal thing. They were supposed to cleanse themselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God's got something in store for this place. God's got something big in store for this place. But if we don't sanctify ourselves, if we don't clean ourselves up, if we're not ready to receive what it is that He's got in store for us, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to, you know, if we're worried about what's going on out there more than we're worried about what's going on in here, or more worried about what He's got in store for us, we're going to miss it. You know, I can't worry about what's going on Facebook. I can't worry about what's going on YouTube. I can't worry about what's going on anywhere but what's right in here. If I can keep this right here clean, all the rest of it don't matter. You stay right. Brother Josh Adams instilled that in my heart a long time ago, but God instilled it into him to share it with me, because we got to stay right. I can't backbite at Brother Jamie because of things that he said in the past or things that he's done to me in the past. He's a rough guy to have to put up with on a daily basis. Nah, I love Brother Jamie. But we got to move on. We got to keep pressing towards the mark. You know, spend your days in here. Spend your days in here instead of worrying about what's going on social media. Spend your days in this book. Spend your days fellowshipping with God. I'm sure that there was a crowd that was murmuring in the camp with a million people. You know, there was people saying, we're going to drown. We're going to drown in the Jordan River. Joshua's going to lead us. We've been wandering around in this desert for 40 years, and now we're going to come up here just to drown. If all of them would have listened and said, you know what, we ain't going, Joshua. We're going to stay on this side of Jordan, and let's see what God can do for us over here. No, we got to keep pressing. There was a particular obedience. Verse 15 tells us, and as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the times of harvest. The priests had to step into the muddy water of Jordan before God would part them. It wasn't like the Red Sea instance when God parted the Red Sea. This time, God didn't do it before they got there or before they started crossing. The priests had to step into the water. I don't know if you've ever been on a creek bank when it's out of the water. It ain't crystal clear water. It ain't like you go up to the mountains and you're able to see the bottom of the where you're stepping. These men had to go by faith. They had to take that first step. As God's people, we got to be willing to take that first step. We got to be willing to wade out into the waters, because a lot of times God don't always show you the end result before you're willing to take that first step. The river was in flood stage at this time and could have been as wide as 100 feet and as deep as 10 feet. It was swift waters, uncertain footing. You know, I can imagine, I've seen the creek there at our house get out and tear every bit of my fence down. Every time it comes a good fresh, we have to put fence back up. But I can imagine those people standing on the bank of the Jordan River and looking at that water as wide as it was and seeing how swift it was. And those priests that had that ark on their shoulders, you know, it wasn't like they had a rope and a throw line to where, okay, if we fall down, we're going to come back. No, they had a heavy ark on their shoulders. They was bearing it or toting it by their side or up on their shoulders. One, they was toting it, and that's the way they was going. They had to take that first step. What if these priests had doubted God and never took the first step? What if they had never been willing to get their feet wet? You know, as Christians, sometimes we've got to get our feet wet. We've got to get out into the water. Because even though those waters look uncertain, even though those waters are unclear as to what seems to be the outcome, God's waiting for us to make that first move. God's waiting for us to take that first step. Often God provides no solution to our problems until we trust Him and move ahead with what we know and He wants us to do. You know, I done said it earlier that we're not supposed to get ahead of God, but when God gives you instructions, God had done give them the instructions as to what to do. Okay, priest, you need to step into the water. When God gives you those instructions, you're going to have to go ahead and go. It may not be an easy task. It's not going to always be an easy thing to be a Christian. A lot of people has put a bad name on being a Christian, saying, oh, it's easy, just come on, get saved, and you'll live a life of rainbows and unicorns. No, that's not the way it's going to be. Life's going to be tough. Being a Christian is going to be hard, because you're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have to make some hard stands. You're going to have to lose some friends. You're going to have to lose some family. You're going to have to make decisions that you don't want to have to do. But it's up to us as Christians to take a stand. We've got to stand for what's right. We've got to keep pressing towards the mark. These priests had to get their feet in the water before God would ever part the waters of the Jordan. You know, they could have been standing there on that side, and one of them looked over at the other one and said, "Man, that's a swift. I can't see the bottom. Can you see the bottom on your side? Hey, have you got something you can hold to on your side that maybe that'll help us get down in this water?" I don't know if you've ever tried to climb out of a creek bank or river bank. I always think about the deep river, and that, the banks down there is deep. I'd hate to have to climb out of that in a lot of places. But these men was looking at that. They was seeing that, and they seen that water, and they said, "Well, you know what? God told us to go. God told me to get my feet wet. God told me to wade out in there, and He was going to do something big." And because of their faithfulness, God moved in a mighty way. There's no telling what God's going to do in your life if you're just willing to take that first step. If you're willing to get your feet wet. If you're willing to get out of your comfort zone. You know, these men have been carrying this ark on dry ground for quite some time. They've been wandering through the wilderness, different ones carrying it. Always the Levites doing the job of toting it. But now it got up to the hard part where they had to make a decision. Are we going to go with God or are we going to back up and we're going to sit here on this side and miss out on the blessings? God had given them the instructions. All they had to do was go. Don't be scared to step into the waters of uncertainty, because God has you in the palm of His hand and He has some big hands. We go to questioning God a lot of times. God, why do you want me to go this direction? God, why do you want me to have to go through this trial? God, why did you want me to have to face this? It may be to encourage your brother and sister in Christ. It may be to be a witness to that lost person that's saying, "You know what, there's no hope for me." But God sees you as a Christian willing to take those first steps, willing for you to wade out into those muddy waters of uncertainty. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We can't keep waiting on somebody else to do the first step. There was a group of people that was waiting behind them that was waiting to see what they was going to do. There's a group of people that's out here waiting on us to see what we're going to do. Whether we're going to keep pressing towards the mark, whether we're going to wade out into the river, or whether we're just going to quit, whether we're going to sit down, throw in the towel and say, "You know what, that's enough." It's not enough. When God says it's enough, He'll take us home. We'll be in glory. And I'm looking at people that's halfway, most of you still breathing. Most of you, I think, see a heartbeat, a pulse there. But God's left you here for a reason. God's got you here to do something. Whether it be to be a prayer warrior, whether it be just to be faithful and be a face that's seen on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to be a part of that core that's faithful to come when the doors of God's house are open. Don't be scared to take that first step. There was a particular obedience, but there was a particular reward. Verse 17 tells us, "And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." It says the priests stood on dry ground. They had to get their feet wet before they was able to stand on dry ground. Troubles is going to come before you're able to get through that valley that you're going through. There's going to be stormy nights that you're going to have to face before you're able to come out of that storm. These men had to go. They had to take that first step before they was going to receive that reward. All the people crossed on dry ground. It wasn't just the priest. It wasn't just those that was bearing the ark. Everybody got to be a part of their faithfulness. God's depending on us to be faithful. God's depending on us to be faithful here at New Center Christian Church. We can give up, we can throw in the towel, but we're going to miss out on the reward if we're not willing to go and take the next step. They were rewarded because of their faith. Don't lose faith in God when the waters of life seem to be out of the bank and there seems to be no hope. You know, I've faced dark times in my life, and I've faced uncertain waters, whether or not I was going to make it out of them or not, but there was always hope with the Lord. I know whatever you may be facing this morning, you may look at it and say that there's no hope, that the darkness is just too dark, I can't never come out of that. There's always hope when God's involved. There's always hope. These men had hope that God was going to lead them across Jordan River. He was going to get them on dry ground. They had to go off of somebody else's faith. Don't be that one that gives up on their faith, because there's no telling who's looking at you, who's looking at your life. You know, the Israelites could have missed out on a huge reward if these priests hadn't been willing to get their feet wet. He's the answer. He's the answer that you're looking for this morning. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in drugs. You can't find it in this world. He's going to be the answer. That's the only hope that you'll ever have. Those things will give you hope for a season. They'll give you pleasure for a time. But when that high wears off of it, you're still going to be miserable. God's that one that even when the darkest days comes, He can still give you that hope. I can think back on my darkest days, but because I knew that He was the Creator God, He was the one that was holding me in the palm of His hand. Because I knew that I was in His hand, I knew that everything was going to be okay. It may not have wound up and ended the way that I wanted it to. I may not have been able to get the victory the way that I wanted it to be got, but because I knew that I was in His hands, I knew that it was going to be okay. We're going to face uncertain days. We're going to face uncertain waters. But because we know that He is God, we got hope. We can't give up. We can't say, you know what, it's too tough. It's too tiresome. I can't get going. He is our assurance. If I didn't know that I had assurance in Him, I'd stayed at the house this morning. If I didn't think that He was going to get me through these dark times, that He was going to get me through the dark days that I have to face that I don't even know is going to come, I'd have stayed at the house. But because of His assurance that He gives me, that He's never left me nor forsaken me, all those promises that are in this blessed book that I can cling to and say, you know what, He's coming back. He didn't leave me here just to go through this on my own. No, He's there. He's there with us each and every step of the way. If you're here this morning, you're lost, He's waiting for you to take that first step. Miss Linda, would you come to the piano? That's the hardest step, seems like, that most people will ever make, is taking that first step towards the altar. Because they're worried about what everybody else is thinking, what everybody else is thinking of them. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here today without getting things right with Him. If you would, stand with me this morning. I don't know what you're putting your faith and trust in with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're putting your faith and trust in this world, you're putting your hope in the wrong place. But if you're putting your hope in Him, you're putting it in the right place. He's waiting with open arms to forgive you of your sins and save your soul and to give you an eternity in heaven. Because just as heaven is so sweet, hell is so real. Don't leave here today thinking that I'm going to be okay, that I'll get another opportunity. Because if you're lost and undone, God doesn't say that I'll give you a chance tomorrow. He doesn't say I'll give you another chance tomorrow. You better get it right today. Christian, whatever troubled waters you're facing in this life, help is waiting at this altar. You know, we go through life and say, well, God, I'll pray a little harder tomorrow. No, today would be a good day to start. Church, help is waiting at the altar. We're facing uncertain waters, and our first step needs to be towards Him. If we're stepping any other direction than towards Him, we're messing up. Don't be that one that's not willing to take that first step. Won't you come today and get some help? Whether it be need of salvation, whether it be need of rekindling your fire for Him. The children of Israel, they knew there was a journey. They had been facing it for 40 years. They was at the point where they was about to reach their reward, but they didn't give up. They kept pressing towards that mark. Don't give up this morning, because the night seems that last couple hours of darkness seems to be the darkness before that sun comes up in the morning. And I sure am thankful that the S-O-N shines bright in my life. No matter how dark times gets, I know He's going to be there for me in the morning when that darkness subsides. Father, I pray that You would use this message this morning, Lord. God, if there be one here today that's lost and undone, Lord, God, don't let them leave here today without getting things right with You. Lord, don't let them go out into eternity and bust hell wide open. Lord, I pray, God, that they would heed to You today, God. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd pour that convicting power upon them, Lord, that they wouldn't even be able to go out these doors without getting things right with You. Lord, for that Christian, God, that needs to snuggle up and get close to the fire, Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us as a church. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd snuggle up to You, Lord, and God, that we'd be willing to take that first step towards You. God, not that first step in retreat, God, but that first step towards you, Lord. God, I pray that you'd bless here today, God. I pray, God, that you would use these words, God, not for any glory that I need, God, not for any glory that I want, Lord. God, that you would get all the honor and all the glory for it, Lord. God, because you're worthy. God, you're worthy of everything that you do for us, Lord. God, if you don't give us nothing else, God, you don't give us more than we deserve, Lord. God, I pray that you might bless today, God, that you would minister today, Lord. God, I pray that you'd bring us back out to your house on Wednesday, Lord. God, I pray that you'd fill us up, Lord. God, bless this place, Lord. Help us, God, as we seek your will, God, as to know which direction that you'd have us to go in. God, but the one thing that we do know, God, that first step is going to be towards you, God, wherever it is that you're leading. Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord, for whatever it is that you have for us, Lord. And God, when we face these uncertain waters, Lord, I pray, God, that you give us the strength to take that first step towards you. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, God, for everything that you do for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this place. Lord, thank you, God, for these people, God, that was willing to come out and seek your face, Lord. I pray, God, that you might bless now, God. Just go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, God, in everything that we do. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here with us today. If you're here today and you're uncertain of where you're going to spend eternity, don't leave here today without seeing me or seeing one of these deacons or seeing one of these Sunday school teachers, because it'll be the best decision that you've ever made to follow him. Good day. God bless. We'll see you Wednesday night.